This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop here. What's that style? Everybody look what's going on.
Thanks, everybody. Before we get started, I just want to say a few words about the passing of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. He was universally acknowledged to be an intellectual giant who left his mark not only on the court, but on how to interpret the Constitution. And whether or not you agree with him or made a lot of jokes about him like I did. One thing you got to admit is they had a great sense of humor. People have actually broken down the transcripts of oral arguments. And he told more jokes and got more laughs than any of the other justices. And that might be part of the reason why he could be such good friends with justices who he disagreed with, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Elena Kagan. And I was lucky enough to have one conversation with Antonin Scalia that explained his appeal to me. And here's what happened. It was 10 years ago this April when I gave a speech at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I don't know if you guys saw that, but... Not a lot of people laughed in the front row. Some people laughed in the back of the room, but the important people in the front row and on the dais, it was mostly silent while I gave the speech. And while I had a good time giving the speech, when it was over, no one was even making eye contact with me. The question was Antonin Scalia. When I was making jokes about him, because what had happened was that he had been caught by photographers about a week before the dinner doing this to the photographers. So I did this to him, Jim. I did this to him while he was... I did my gestures at him, and after it was over, he came up to me. Again, no one is talking to me in the whole damn room. And Antonin Scalia comes up to me and said, "It's great, great. Did you give me one of these?" Ah! And I said, "Sir, first I want to ask, would that be legal for me to do?" And he goes, "Of course it'll be legal." And I said, "Well, then, yeah, I gave you one of these." And he goes, "Great stuff. Great stuff. Good night." And then he left. And I watched him go, and I thought, "Don't you make me love you, old man." So I will forever be grateful for that moment of human contact that he gave me. And so I would just like to say one last time, Justice Scalia, I salute you.
Well, I'll tell you, this is the thing that we're hearing on all sides on these testimonies of Justice Scalia, how he was able to, relate to people on both sides, and that the human contact, I mean, his position, just what a presence that he had and a gift to humanity to be able to touch a guy like Stephen Colbert, especially at a point when you hang yourself out there and you're in a situation, you're not sure how it's going to play, and you're going, I don't think I made any friends here. You know, where's the exit door, you know?
Right. It's one of those things, too, where you're hearing so much kind of hate speech coming from, a pretty large crowd there on the left. And it's nice to hear a sentiment like this to kind of, maybe fade that out a little bit.
Well, there's no question. I mean, this whole situation got politicized. We talked about it, the other day with a couple of our guests, that it was so quick, whether it was Mitch McConnell first or the president, that, right away it was like, okay, the lines of demarcation are going to be clearly drawn. And know that, you're the president of the United States. You can offer, your nominee. But as head of the Senate, this isn't the time. And of course, now you hear all the hypocrisy. How dare them, and go, okay, well, Chucky Schumer, not too long ago, himself made the statement that, for George W. Bush, and George W. Bush, I think, had something like 17, 18 months left. And he says, "We're not accepting any nominations. My recommendation is that, we just tell them, go ahead and pound fish. Ain't gonna happen." And, but now, the shoe's on the other foot. And typical of, the left, and I think maybe politicians in general, is they just think that we're all ignorant and we don't understand and that we don't have, You know, we don't have information that tells us how bad they're lying. It's incredible, you know. But, hey, such is the way politics goes, and what do you expect? It's just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Stay right where you are. We've got more coming up right after this.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before market, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com and order your Healthy Start Pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com. At sonsoflibertyteam.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. It's Bill Martinez here at 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. We come to you Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 Eastern right here on this GCN radio network, also coordinated with the one and only SDG radio network as well. So in addition to 270 markets, we're around the world via shortwave radio. So we're all over the place, and we continue to reach out and touch. And I thank you for spreading the good word, and thank you for all the tweets as well. Just about, like I said, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Do we have Jim with us? I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time picking you up.
Oh, nope. Jim is, we're still trying to reach him here.
Oh, okay, great. Well, we're on standby for James Antle. James is the Washington Examiner's politics editor, and we wanted to talk about what's going on the campaign trail. But you got to know, guys, that the campaign trail has got a little heating up, you know, with the passing of Scalia. I mean, this is really a very, very serious issue, and you know, to say the least. And you know, I think you know, voters are starting to realize that there is a lot riding on this. We're not just talking about the president; we're talking about the control of you know, potentially the Supreme Court. Now, I know the president has already made it clear he's going to present his candidate. And we'll see what happens. But I think clearly the Republican-controlled Senate, you know, they're just not going to deal with it. I mean, and that has been the tradition. And, you know, and it's kind of it galls me a little bit that the Democrats want to be so, you know, self-righteous and say, how dare they?
Well, isn't this also one of the positions where you should be very it really shouldn't, politics shouldn't come into it. Laws are laws. There's no, you know, laws are there to be very defined. And obviously, sometimes throughout the process, you know, as it gets up to the Supreme Court, you know, things are interpreted differently and things like that. But shouldn't this be the one time, the one position in government where a person's politics should be thrown completely out the window?
Well, that's what our founding fathers had intended, clearly. But along the way, there was a hard left made, and justification for people to disengage and unanchor themselves from, you know, the solidity of the U.S. Constitution. And you have words coming from this president alone, who is the standard bearer of this rule of thought, and that is that the Constitution is elastic. So, you know,
well, some of the things that are at stake here are, what if they put in somebody that doesn't believe that that guns are a right, that people should be able to have the right to bear arms?
Of course.
But if they put somebody in like that, now all of a sudden you're bringing up questions of, well, can people own guns? Well, I say they can't. Well, you know, well, then what happens?
Well, what happens if you bring somebody in and says, hey, Sharia law is okay? that it is compatible. I mean, we already have that movement in the country right now. It's just, you know, lifting its head and creeping in ever so clearly. I think there's several counties in states, several states right now where Sharia law is the rule of order for that particular county. And you go, how can that happen?
Which is ridiculous. Is there a single country in the world that runs off of Sharia law that is even remotely close to being a first world country?
Well, no, it's not. But the thing is, again, you know, as I said, my old mentor used to say, sometimes you can be so open-minded that your brains fall out. And, you know, somebody needs to come in and just tell people, hey, look, I'm sorry, your brains are leaking. They're exposed. Okay, let's do a little bit of surgery on you, but let's pull them back in your head and let's think about what's going on. I mean, the thing is that's happening in our country today is the same thing that happened with the Word of God. Okay, the situation that came out of the Garden of Eden, you know, when Satan was talking to Adam and Eve, was, did God really say? And so, you know, today it's no different, you know, politically, is that we have people that are crass enough to say, did our founding fathers really say? They not only said it, but here's a document. You know, as James Herson once told me, he said, Bill, there's one thing to have anecdotal witness and evidence, but it's something else to have a document. A document in the rule of law screams. Well, our Constitution is screaming, but we have lefties that are doing everything they can to muffle the screams that are coming out from the Constitution, like saying, are you idiots or what? Oh, we do. Okay. Well, let's bring Jim on. Jim Antle is with us, the Washington Examiner's politics editor. Jim, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Always good to have you on with us. How you doing, buddy?
Good, Bill. How you doing?
Hey, doing great. A lot going on, and of course, it just seems like the fire on the campaign trail just got amped up even further with the passing of Justice Scalia.
Right. I mean, that really changes a lot, because you're going to see a heated debate over the Supreme Court. It really raises the stakes, I think, for a Republican to win in November, particularly if the Senate succeeds in holding off any President Obama's nominee to replace Justice Scalia. And I think within the Republican primary, you're going to see a lot of talk about who is most qualified to fill Supreme Court vacancies. And you're going to see, in my view, a lot of scrutiny of Donald Trump, because he doesn't have quite the track record of being identified with the conservative legal network from which a Republican president would be likely to pick conservative Supreme Court justices. So how reliable is Trump on judges? I think it's going to be a big question.
And this is on the heels of a well-established precedent of the last 7.5 years, nearly, with our current president, who looks at the Constitution as being elastic, and the execution of these controversial, executive orders.
Yeah, I mean, there are just so many legal questions that are vital, and the president is the furthest thing one can imagine from a constitutionalist. So anybody he's going to put on the Supreme Court is likely to just be a rubber stamp of his executive orders. And just another vote for a liberal agenda on the Supreme Court. Excuse me. This will swing the court one way or the other in terms of the majority. I mean, if the president gets to pick someone, it will mean that there is a liberal majority on the Supreme Court. So the stakes are pretty high, and I think that the debate is going to reflect that.
Well, and I think that Republicans are fighting hard in light of recent evidence. Democrats will say, look, you've elected a progressive, president twice. And, so they've got standing. And meanwhile, Republicans say, yeah, but when you look at everything else, the fact that Republicans in the last 2 years took over the Senate, now control the House, it is demonstrating a move within the body politic that says, we want to steer more towards conservatism as opposed to a progressive trajectory. What do you say?
Well, I mean, look, the president has the authority to nominate whoever he wants to the Supreme Court, but the Republicans in the Senate have the authority to block and to vote down anybody they want. I mean, they're both constitutional powers, and it's perfectly fine for them to exercise them. Mm-hmm.
And both sides have exercised this, so it's not that anybody has the high ground on this, do they, Jim?
Absolutely not. Right. A lot of hypocrisy on all around.
I know. That's the one thing about it. This is daytime drama, reality television right before your eyes, ladies and gentlemen. If you ever wanted it, we've got plenty to spread around. And of course, for those cities and states where primaries are going on and where you're being carpet bombed, of course, you're deluged with it. James Antle, Washington Examiner's politics editor. Thanks, James. Appreciate you being on with us. It's 14 after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Quote subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Today, more than ever, it's imperative that you protect your digital privacy. EDEC Digital Forensics Signal Blocking Anti-Radiation Anti-Surveillance Faraday Bags shield the contents of your phones, tablets, and key fobs from 4G, Wi-Fi, GPS, Bluetooth, NFC, and more. Find us at edecdf.com/radio or call us now at 805-222-4584. That's 805-222-4584. Radio listeners get 20% off your order.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. FortressClothing.com.
Removing bad taste and odor from your drinking water is easy. Removing the bad stuff you don't taste is what ProPure does best. Water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure countertop, inline gravity, and household water filtration products. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Or call 800-544-3533.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
You gotta change, change, change. Life can change, change, change. Brand new looks so good on you. So shake like you've been changed. Come on and shake.
Join us on.
online at PhilMartinezLive.com.
Hey, you can follow us online. You can follow us on your local radio station. If you don't have it there, you know, tell them on your smartphone as well. We're just, you know, we're everywhere. We're just absolutely profuse. But, you know, we thank you for joining the effort here to get this country back on track. If it's going to happen, not top down. Top down is what got us into this mess. It's going to be a grassroots, bottom-up kind of movement because it's about those three most powerful words from the Constitution. Yes, our founding fathers did say, we the people. That's what it's all about. It's just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Our next guest, incredible story. For those of us that have any understanding and awareness of what's been going on in South Africa, when you hear the real-life stories of the contestation that continues today regarding apartheid and the history and the process that they have gone through, it is harrowing, to say the least, and it's also disturbing at the same time and breaks your heart. Well, Anthony Schneider has written a new novel called Repercussions, and this strips bare the truth about the struggle to end apartheid and gives a searing assessment on South Africa as it is today. Anthony, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
Hey, great to have you with us. Congratulations on the book. Why? Why Repercussions? Let me ask you that up front.
Well, I think, as you said, I was very interested in taking a look not only at apartheid as it was 40 or 50 years ago and the struggle to end apartheid, which took many decades, but, as you said, what has that led to and where are we in South Africa today? And then also, on a more personal level, where are the people who helped topple that regime and end apartheid? And I guess that's what the title refers to, is what were the personal repercussions of these men and women who took so many risks and changed history?
Exactly. Well, when you're talking about apartheid, I mean, this really connects to a moral issue, which is at the heart and soul of humanity. This is not an overnight change, as it was, you know, when we fought the Civil War. And to this day, you could argue that we still deal with it because we can't, you know, for some reason, because we're free will agents, we can do whatever we choose to do. That's on us. But there needs to be some moral connectivity to how we treat our fellow man, doesn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's interesting looking at the United States through the prism of South Africa. Mm-hmm. This country looks a whole lot better. You know, when the guy who's in my book was fighting against apartheid starting in about 1963, he joined the ANC, which is Nelson Mandela's political party. To those guys, you know, they were emboldened by what had happened in America. They said, mm-hmm. Well, look at Martin Luther King. Look at what they're doing. They're changing laws. They're, you know, mostly peacefully changing the country. And as it happened, it was a lot tougher in South Africa. They did get there. But I think, as you say, that calling on that sort of moral fiber of humanity was a little more difficult there. And it took, a little more dangerous work and a little more time.
Well, the rule of law that existed in the United States, you know, for what it was worth, put some restraint. Whereas in South Africa, you've got a little bit more room to move. And as a result, you know, the way people were persecuted, you know, the horrendous acts of violence upon our human family is so well documented and shocking all at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I think you know, as I was researching this book, what was just sort of staggering was learning about how laws were really warped in South Africa in order to prop up the government. For, I mean, just one example, they enacted something in 62 or 63 called the 90-day detention law, which meant you could detain anyone for absolutely no reason for 90 days. And as you can imagine, that is an unbelievably powerful weapon to put in the hands of a, you know, state government that wants to keep part of the population down.
Exactly. And, excuse me. And Anthony, I mean, here in the United States, you could argue that there have been similar steps in that direction, even in this 21st century, to control the population, where you have government wanting to be so big and be the overriding be-all and end-all, the government of everything, because, you know, the plebs just, you know, they just can't see it like we do, and they need help.
Yeah, it's tricky here, you know, and as I say, for me, coming from South Africa, the, at least in the legislature, the United States looks so good, and at the risk of quoting Larry Flint on the radio, he's right when he says, I think he's wrong when he says you can't legislate morality. I think the United States shows that you actually can legislate morality. It might take a while, but legislation's a pretty good place to start.
Well, you can help people, but the tough thing about that, I mean, obviously you want, you know, the people themselves. I mean, that's the way what our Constitution is established on, you know, the power of we the people. It's self-rule, self-responsibility. So we're the ones that need to make the move. It is always difficult. Yes, government can inspire and help incentivize the trajectory of a population. And heaven help us that our government is doing it in a very helpful sort of way and not in a way that serves and honors the government. That's the challenge.
We hope, absolutely. We hope so. You know, and this look, the United States is built on freedom, so you have sometimes these things are going to clash.
Yes, exactly. In Repercussions, you talk about the people who were under apartheid and those that executed it. Let's talk about those two groups here, and we got about 3 minutes left here, Anthony. I could talk to you all day about this. This is so fascinating, but give us some highlights there on both sides of the spectrum.
Well, so the book mostly chronicles the people who were fighting apartheid. The protagonist of the book is a guy called Henry Wegeland, and he's a lawyer in South Africa in the early 60s, not overly political. He joins the African National Congress, that's Mandela's party, and he begins to believe that they're not going to get there peacefully, and he joins the armed wing of that party. And then he starts doing some actions that get him on the police lists, and he realizes that he has probably gone a step too far, and if he stays in the country, he's going to face certain arrest. And indeed, that's what happened to, you know, he describes himself as a foot soldier in this battle, and that's what happened to him, and that's what happened to Mandela, and the South African police did pretty much round up everyone and arrest them. So it took an enormous amount of bravery, and you know what my book does is chronicle one of those guys who is more or less hidden from history because he wasn't one of the kind of stars of the ANC, and just take a look at you know what he did and then where that left him 50 years later when he's living in Brooklyn.
Well, he and others make up the recipe, I say, in affecting change, being catalysts in certain pieces and parts, a key role that without them it wouldn't have happened, possibly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what, you know, in researching this book, and obviously I learned this in history classes when I was a kid in South Africa and read about it, but the more you learn about these people, the more admiration you have for them. Because this is a group of people facing an unbelievably powerful foe. And, you know, it took a while, but they moved a mountain. They changed history.
And the thing that, you know, we take so for granted here, because unless you've been in that position to surrender it all, to fall on your sword, as my old mentor used to say, are you willing to fall on your sword for that? You know, that is a tough deal unless you've been there. And so the benefit and the reward, you know, for these heroes to do that is just, you know, how do you comprehend that, Anthony?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. That is exactly what I was thinking about and became pretty obsessed with. And in a way, I suppose what the book is about is it's not only you have to fall on your sword, but your family.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, Anthony Schneider, his new novel, Repercussions, it'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us. It's 28 after the top of the hour.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Quote subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook. Supernatural Silver.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Booyah! Just another Spanish love song.
Don't be afraid. You will not be hurt if you comply. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Hey, as we take on the government of everything and do something that's going to get this country back on track, but all hands on deck are required. Are you with me? Okay, Dr. Paul Kengor is our next guest, professor of political science, executive director of the Center for Vision and Values at Grove City College. Paul, always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
Good, Bill. Thanks.
Hey, I tell you, one thing I like about these debates is that it's all about exposure. And for those that have been waiting for Donald Trump to expose himself, I don't know how much more naked he can be.
Right.
Boy, he came unhinged at this last debate going after George Bush. And all of a sudden, people go, I thought I was watching a Republican debate. When did it become a Democratic debate?
Right. Yeah, it's like he took a page from MoveOn.org. Yeah. I mean, look, Trump said a couple of things. First, and I get the direct quote, George Bush made a mistake. We should have never been in Iraq. You know, okay. All right. We can debate that. He said we destabilized the larger Middle East region. Okay, fine. But then he said this, Bill, quote, I want to tell you, and he's speaking here of George Bush and his administration, I want to tell you they lied. They said there were weapons of mass destruction. There were none, and they knew there were none. Unquote. Mm-hmm. Now that, Bill, that is outrageous. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean that is, you know, Code Pink, International Answer, Cindy Sheehan, MoveOn.org, radical left wing blogger kind of stuff.
That's when you put a tinfoil hat on your head.
That's right. That's exactly right. Look. Yeah, that's right. I mean, everybody Everybody in the world in 2002, 2003 thought there were WMDs in Iraq at the time. The whole debate was not over whether Saddam had WMDs, but the best way to get rid of the WMDs. And so the split, you had the George Bush, Tony Blair approach, which was you want to disarm Saddam, you got to remove Saddam. Then there were the Russians, the Chinese, Kofi Annan at the UN, you know, the many liberal Democrats who said, no, to disarm Saddam and curtail those WMDs, we got to continue to wait on sanctions. We don't have to actually invade. But there was no debate over whether or not he had WMDs. And also, too, the absurdity of this, if George W. Bush and his team knew that there were no WMDs, then when they invaded, they would have known that within a year, meaning like 2004, when Bush was up again for re-election, we would not have found any WMDs because they knew that none existed. Yeah, and that would have torched his re-election campaign. So it's ridiculous. It's self-defeating. It's a horrible argument to say that Bush actually lied about WMDs. That is really left-wing kook material that you won't even hear Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton alleging in the Democratic debate. To see it alleged by the front runner on the Republican side for the presidency is really outrageous.
It is bizarre, no doubt about it, Paul. Paul, you know, we say that that Saddam did not have WMDs. How do you explain the Kurds? You know, how do you explain thousands of people gassed, murdered? I mean, like they were raptured and we just don't want to talk about that?
Yeah, no, that's right. And look, to clarify, we did find WMDs there. We found a lot of them. And there were at least a couple disclosures of that. In fact, one, the Bush administration tasked my senator in the state of Pennsylvania, Rick Santorum, when he was in big trouble, to go out and divulge some of the details. They found a huge amount of uranium, but still, we didn't find the literal warehouses, stockpiles that we thought we would find. To which the better argument is, well, what happened to them, right? Who destroyed them? Where were they moved to? So that's really where we ought to be focusing. But the idea that he wasn't a threat, and in fact, also this is an important point. David Kaye, the chief UN weapons inspector, who we sent in there after 2003, said, you know, he did not find stockpiles, but he found very clear intent and infrastructure with an intent to ramp up WMD production by Saddam the moment that he was in the clear and that inspection stopped. And inspection stopped in 1998. That's why in 2003, after 2001, Bush and his team were so worried. But again, the idea that Bush lied, that is really irresponsible, and that's the kind of unhinged and sloppy statement from Trump that we're really worried about in a commander-in-chief. And I think right now, Bill, he should man up and say, okay, I didn't speak as carefully as I should have. This was off the cuff. Or maybe he actually believes that.
To me, it came out of the left-wing, you know, conversation at cocktail parties there in New York.
Right.
Where people throw this stuff around and they get this into believing this. It's like, wait a minute, let's put this in perspective and context here. The international community of security people, the people that study this internationally said, we got problems here in River City. There's evidence. We've already got thousands of Kurds that have been gassed. This guy's beating his chest. He's talking about, and it could have been all bravado, but you start seeing little bits of evidence. And then, oh, by the way, wasn't there a report here a couple of years ago that kind of fell on deaf ears that they found weapons of mass destruction, these gas containers and everything that they were looking for in Syria. Now, that was reported, but it was kind of like kept, you know, below the fold, as they say, next to the obituary. It wasn't anything to reveal the truth of any new information.
Well, that's right. In fact, there was a book by George Sada that came out after the invasion, and he was an intimate of Saddam, and he said that the weapons were actually moved to Syria. Mm-hmm. And in fact, prior to that, there's an entire book by Kadir Hamza, and it was published by either Random House or Simon & Schuster. It's called Saddam's Bombmaker, where he laid out the entire WMD program. There were UN reports at the time. I mean, I have right here, and this is my article on this. You can find it at American Spectator. February 25th, 2001, London Times, title, Defectors Say Iraq Tested Nuclear Bomb, unquote. September 16th, 2002, quote, Iraq will have nuclear bomb in months, unquote. That's the London Times. Mm-hmm. Washington Post, Barton Gelman, September 30th, 1998, quote, Iraq works toward a bomb, unquote. I mean, you know, this was all through the media throughout the 1990s. You know, this is why Thomas Friedman of the New York Times joked that Saddam Hussein is the reason that God created the cruise missile. because the Clinton administration was literally running out our cruise missiles, bombing suspected Iraqi WMD sites throughout the 1990s. Mm-hmm. So everybody was convinced that he had them. George W. Bush would have been convinced that Saddam either had the bomb or was working to it or was stockpiling WMDs years before he became president just by reading stuff in the media in the New York Times and Washington Post.
Exactly.
This was the consensus up until 2003. So again, for Trump to say that Bush lied about it is the height of irresponsibility.
And how does he come up with the conclusion that Bush was responsible for the Twin Towers going down?
Oh, yeah. You know, that was clearly just an emotional outburst. I mean, that's all I could think of. And I've done some Googling around. I've seen some reader comments in response to things I've written on this in the last few days. And Trump's defenders are simply excusing it with a kind of, so what? You know, they're still screwing up the country. We need someone to go in and fix it. They're letting him get away with it.
Well, you know, they let Barack Obama get away with a lot, and they're letting Donald Trump get away with a lot. I mean, have we not learned anything from this process? If you do not vet these candidates appropriately, then, you know, don't come back later and claim buyer's remorse of some sort, because you are ignoring these issues and these kind of statements. You just cannot have, I believe, this kind of irresponsibility in the Oval Office. I think it's very dangerous.
Well, I agree. I agree, Bill.
And I got to tell you, I like Trump's energy. I like that he would turn things upside down, but it's a matter of how much damage and collateral damage we want to accept along the way. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Paul Ken Gore, I'm Bill Martinez, Professor of Political Science, Executive Director of the Center for Vision and Values at Grove City College.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Quote subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the sacral wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the sacral wedgie.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
The truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Attention, everyone. Everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. Please do not turn off your radio.
This is Bill Martinez live.
It's Bill Martinez, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. We come to you Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 Eastern in over 270 markets across this United States and around the world via shortwave. Well, Matthew Whitaker is with us, former U.S. attorney and president of the Ethics Watchdog Group, the Foundation for Accountability and Civic Trust. Fact. Matt, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Always good to have you with us. How you doing?
Glad to be with you again. I'm doing well.
Well, Matt, we've been talking about the slow drip release of emails that has come from Hillary Clinton. And I was just checking her website, and she says, here's the four things you need to know. This is from her about Hillary Clinton's email use during her time at the State Department. These are the four things, four sentences. Hillary takes responsibility for her decision to use a personal account and the challenges it has created. Number two, her use of a private email account was allowed under State Department rules. Number three, nothing she sent or received was marked classified. Number four, she provided all of her work-related emails to the State Department. Those four sentences are her story. That's what she's sticking to, Matt.
Yeah, and you know, the devil's in the details on this thing because, you know, she doesn't mention that, you know, she... Many of those emails were classified at birth, which means at the moment she created them because she was, and it didn't have to be marked for it to be classified or protected, and she knew that and signed a document that said that. I mean, we're up to over 1,700 emails that are classified now. 22 of those are top secret. And I mean, I think the, you know, the American people are a little frustrated with the, convenience with which she's hiding behind, you know, these simple facts about her email and really ignoring the bigger picture, which is, you know, she ultimately put American lives and America's top, you know, highest classification of information at risk. And, you know, she should be not only held accountable for that, but really, you know, to some extent, her qualification to serve as president, I think, should be questioned.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think people are questioning that. And the Democratic Party is in a mad scramble, whether it's with a coin toss or some other super delegate process. I mean, they're trying to rig the system to make sure that somehow she can weather the storm here. But with every week, there's more information that comes out, whether it's a Benghazi movie or these emails. And as you say, the top secret, and then you got the super top secret emails as well that are very hard to defend.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even mention the SAP information, which is, you know, one of the highest classification that really you have. I mean, it's it does put American lives at risk, and you know, really, it was a very cavalier attitude. You know, and I do watch with fascination the Democrat nomination process and the fact that really everybody that's running the process has already endorsed her. You know, the state party Democrat chair of Iowa was one of her supporters. You know, we'll never know exactly what the count in Iowa was for how many people actually showed up and voted for her versus Senator Sanders. And, you know, I think, you know, this is what we should expect. If ultimately, you know, she is their nominee or she is our president, is we should expect, you know, sort of never getting the complete truth, you know, only getting maybe 80% or what, you know, those in power deem is stuff that that we should we could only be prepared to handle as the American citizens. I mean, my group, the Foundation for Accountability and Civic Trust, is set up for this very example, is to shine a lantern, shine a light on these types of behaviors, and really call out public servants that, you know, put their own interests ahead of the interests of the American people.
And of course, now the Clinton Foundation has been subpoenaed finally.
Yeah, and I've always believed that there is some connection between her time at the State Department from 2009 to 2013 until between the State Department and the Clinton Foundation, and that there was some relationship and between the individuals serving in both groups, and really the revolving door that you've seen of people sort of holding in the State Department, and they moved to the foundation, and now many of them are sitting in the campaign for president. So, I mean, to me, I think that's where the FBI ultimately is going to find some interesting issues, is in that relationship between the State Department and the Clinton Foundation for those 4 years that she was Secretary of State.
Well, Matt, as they always say in this money, I mean, in this business, is you follow the money. I mean, you know, Bill Clinton goes from making about $70,000 to $80,000 a speech, which is typical for most former presidents. Suddenly, you know, he's making $500,000 per speech. And the only difference is that his wife is now Secretary of State. But somehow there's nothing there. And we're just supposed to ignore it because, you know, the Jedis have told us that there's nothing there.
Right, and it was clearly done to curry's favor with then Secretary of State Clinton. And the other thing we have noted in this State Department Clinton Foundation nexus is that, you know, they said they wouldn't accept money from foreign countries that had not previously given to the Clinton Foundation, which, you know, didn't accept foreign countries from giving, just ones that hadn't given in the past. But then, you know, they actually violated even that, their own internal policy of accepting money from outside, from countries that had not already donated. So, I mean, I think there is a lot still to be known about how the Clinton Foundation operated for those 4 years she was Secretary of State. And again, who was trying to curry favor and influence with the State Department while Secretary Clinton was in charge?
Right. Well, Matt, her fourth point, she says she provided all her work-related emails to the State Department, and I'm not sure how she can substantiate that statement when we've already been told that she scrubbed her server and a lot of the emails were eliminated. I guess work-related is based on her own definition and the other person that was with her to scrub her server.
Well, there's been some issues. As you know, we've seen emails turn up in the Benghazi hearings that were clearly work-related, but they were not turned over by Secretary Clinton. So, I mean, that I don't think the American people believe that. I think there's evidence to the contrary. And ultimately, it's ultimately in the minds of the observers. But, you know, from my perspective, I don't think I believe that point, that she turned over all of her work-related emails. And, you know, quite frankly, I mean, the American people want to see everything because she clearly intermingled work with personal, with Clinton Foundation and other things. And so I just think ultimately we'll see a complete view of this, and I'm sure the American people will make their own judgments, but I cannot expect that we won't be fairly disappointed how ultimately she conducted herself as Secretary of State.
Well, a lot of the American people are getting brain bruised over this deal. You got 80%, as you mentioned, that just flat out don't trust her, all the surveys say. But yet, by the same token, a number of people still believe that she can do the job. But how do you get around not trusting her, to do the job, and not come away with a bruise all over your brain in order to exercise some sort of pretzel logic here?
Well, I mean, we've seen, you know, other similar politicians who have been under a bright light try to just run out the clock in this circumstance. And I think, you know, she's tried to make it very confusing as to what actually is going on. But, you know, what we need to all remember is that she knew that as Secretary of State, she was creating classified information because of her very position as Secretary of State. She did it. We know that she did it in almost, you know, the quick math, you know, about 2-3% of every email she sent, you know, contained some form of classified information, including some SAP and top secret information. And so, I mean, I think we should expect that, you know, if and when she is ultimately the nominee and possibly the president, that this is the type of behavior, you know, that we will get. And you know, the American people should be able to trust their president and should right. believe what the president says and tells them, no matter what your partisan stripe. And so ultimately, I think we'll let the process play out. I mean, on the, you know, Iowa and New Hampshire have given very mixed results, I think, for her and her campaign. And I think it's, you know, it's going to be a long slog for all of the candidates on both sides.
Yeah. Well, Matt, we've got more emails coming out. It's a slow drip process, as we've been saying. Help our audience understand, what is it that we do know right now about those emails?
Well, we know that they're, one is that they've had, several people had insider access to Secretary Clinton. They had essentially a direct pipeline outside of official government channels to communicate and interact with Secretary Clinton. We know that she transacted, you know, classified conversations on her private email server. We know that it was not protected by any meaningful internet security, you know, although it was quote-unquote guarded by the Secret Service because her husband's a former president and therefore entitled to Secret Service protection. And we also know that, and what I think is going to come out is these last tranches of emails over the course of the next month, we're going to see a lot more of the really hard stuff, the classified stuff, the things that the State Department is really wrestling with what to do with, because it is, you know, you get down to the final documents and you're going to have to make some very difficult decisions as to how these documents are revealed. So I would expect that the count of not only classified but the top secret SAP count will go up dramatically as these last and final emails come out.
What are we to make, Matt, of the smoke that we're seeing from the FBI? Before, they didn't want to say they were doing an open investigation. Now, in fact, there is an open investigation. The Clinton Foundation has been subpoenaed. Looks like a duck and talks like a duck. I mean, this is pretty serious now. Matthew Whitaker, former U.S. attorney and president of the Ethics Watchdog Group, the Foundation for Accountability and Civic Trust. Matt, thank you so much for being with us. Have yourself a great day.
Thank you.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know.
GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.